This is the second session that we're doing on Joshua chapter 2. And what we've covered so far was Roman numeral 1. We looked this morning at Numbers 13 and 14. And we saw that from Numbers 13 and 14 that the first spy mission didn't work. Moses sent in 12 spies, and he sent them in to determine if they could take the land. Joshua sent in 2 spies, and he told them just to go find out where they're at. I don't want you to decide anything. What does God want us to do today? Does he want us deciding anything or just take the land? Just take the land. He's made all the decisions. He's paid all the price. All we got to do now is be obedient. All we got to do is follow the cloud, follow the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of the whole earth, follow His ministry, follow what He's doing, and God's going to give it to us. Do it His way and not our way. Now, tell me, somebody, who are the spies? Spy is the Holy Spirit. And we saw that from Hebrews chapter 11, 31, and from James 2, 25, that Rahab was saved after she received the spies, and that Rahab was justified after she received the spies. Little cool? So the spies then are a type of the Holy Spirit, because you are saved after you receive Christ Jesus in the form of the Spirit of God, and you are justified as you receive Christ Jesus in the form of the Holy Spirit of God. So you see that the spies then become a type of the Holy Spirit, and they are sent into your life. The spy is sent into your life from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, and it says, "I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man what God hath prepared for his people." That's Canaan. That's Canaan. We have really no idea yet. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has entered into our hearts what God has for us in Canaan. But he said that he reveals it to us by his Spirit. It says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." So how do we know what He's got for us? By a spy. But there's something else that the spy does, that the Holy Spirit does in our life. It will go into our life and it can reveal Jericho in us. Do you know that there is a type of Jericho in you? What is Jericho? What is this man talking about? I want to look at that first thing right now. I want to look at Jericho and see what it represents, what it is a type of in our light of present truth. The actual Jericho laid west about 5 to 7 miles from the Jordan River. And now we got to move west to get to Jericho, don't we? And if I'm in the tabernacle of Moses and I'm heading for the Holy of Holies, which direction am I heading? West. The Jordan laid there, and 5 or 7 miles west laid a citadel, a sentinel, or a gate of hell called Jericho. And it guarded the promise of God from the people of God. There is an area in your life that guards you from the promise that God has for you. There is something in your life that hinders the progressive movement of God in your life. There's something that you don't like, that you're not proud of. There's something between your ears that hinders the progressive movement of God in your life. That's your Jericho. Jericho, if you'll look at the word, first of all, it was a double-walled city. Let me tell you a little bit more about it. It was a double-walled city. There was one wall built around the first city. And then they came back and built another one. And the whole nation of Jericho, or city of Jericho, covered about 6 acres. Covered about 6 acres. And Jericho in the Strong's Concordance is 3405. And it's from basically two Greek words, number 3394 and 7306. And from 3394, you get the basic meaning of the mouth or its mouth. Now, one of my Jerichos is my mouth. One of the things that keeps God from doing in me what He would love to do in Delbert's life is Delbert's mouth. Well, you didn't agree with that, so I'll just ask you, how about you? Did James say over there in the book of James, did he say that if a man can tame his tongue, he can tame his whole body? So I see that one of the Jerichos in my life is my mouth. And then it also says that it's a fragrant, sweet-smelling thing. Something that I like. And then it's also from 3394, which is from 3391. This is a word study. This is the way you do word studies. You go all the way back to the root word, and you see everything that that word typifies and means. And there's also a meaning of the moon in it. And the moon speaks of the powers of darkness, doesn't it? He gave two great lights. One was to rule over the day, and one was to rule over the night. The night speaks of the powers of darkness, and the day speaks of the sun, speaks of the powers of the day. This one speaks of the moon, Moon City. Then it's from 3391, which means a lunation, or the month. But here's the one that I really want to bring out. 7306, which is the very root word of all of this word Jericho. It means to blow. In effect, that is to breathe, to smell, to anticipate. But here it is, to enjoy. It's something that you enjoy that keeps God from accomplishing in your life what you really need to accomplish for God and for God to have a progressive march through your mind. Now, you got to get with me. I'm not talking about some natural Canaan land. I'm talking about the battlefield that Paul talks about, the strongholds in our high places, in our minds. I'm fixing to get to it. I'll make it very clear in a second. But your Jericho is somewhere between your ears. And it's something in your life that hinders the progressive march of God in you from accomplishing what God wants to accomplish in you. Jericho was a city or nation of enjoyment. In Jericho, the gods of Baal, Astarte, and Moloch were worshipped, which are the gods of enjoyment. Now, if you got a pencil, jot this down. Baal is the god of fertility. He was typified as a bull. And a bull represents power. And a bull represents the ability to reproduce, strength, reproduction abilities. That's Baal. The whole land of Canaan was infested with this Baal worship. And Jericho was the first place they would meet it. Astarte, also known as Ashtoreth. If we had her today, we'd call her Easter. I'll leave it alone. But she is the fertility goddess. She's the goddess of fertility, of love, of maternity. Think of rabbits. Think of chicks and chickens. 21 days, you got a bunch of them. This is Astarte. This is Ashtaroth. And Solomon had a big time or a hard time. A big time and a hard time. It was an enjoyable thing to him. Turn to, in your Bibles, to 1 Kings 11. This is not in your notes. 1 Kings 11. And it's speaking here about the king whose name is Solomon. And in verse 1 of 1 Kings 11, it says, But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of the Pharaoh's women and so on, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, and so forth and so on. But God warned him about it and said that, "For surely they will turn away your heart after their God." Solomon clave unto these in love. And verse 3 tells us that all these wives turned his heart away from the Lord. But what I really want you to see is look at verse 5. "For Solomon went after Ashtaroth," or Astarte, this sex goddess. "Went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites," and Solomon had a hard time here. And you know, also in that passage of Scripture, if you read it on, you'll find that he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Is that right? Or 900 wives? He had a problem. And this worship of Astarte just intensified that problem. And then there's the god Molech. Now, Molech was the god that they sacrificed babies to. Molech was a furnace god, and they had a big image of him, and they'd heat the lap or the belly of this Molech up like a big furnace, and they'd take the babies and throw them in the furnace or throw them on the heated lap of Molech and sacrifice these babies to Molech. Now, let's look at the United States today. We see liberal sex. We see macho men. We see Astartes. We see free love, free sex. It's all over the television. It's all over the radios. It's all over the magazines. You see this very same thing. You see free sex, and you see that here in the times that we're talking about in Jericho, one of the things that God's going to destroy in Jericho was they had this free sex. And whatever these fruits of this sex, whatever the fruit of the sex produced, babies, they didn't worry about it, because what would they do? Sacrifice it to Molech. So they could have liberal sex and free sex with no limitations. Now, what do we do today? Think about it. We have liberal sex and we have free sex. We only change the name of Molech to abortion. It's the same thing, and I'm telling you, God's going to destroy it. Millions of babies every year sacrificed to Molech. Right here. Talk to me. And you can read it in Leviticus if you want to. God forbids that. God forbids it. Now, this is what they'd done in Jericho. They sacrificed these babies. They had free sex and free sin. The worship at Jericho was to enjoy sex, but not worry about the fruit. The worship of sex, Baal and Astarte, would produce children that would be sacrificed to Molech. What do we do today? We have the worship of sex, but do not worry about the fruit. Baal and Astarte are still worshipped. We then sacrifice the fruit to the god of abortion, or Molech. Scriptures you can look at if you want to in Leviticus 18, 21 and 23 through 5, and it tells you not to worship Molech. And we do it. It's astounding to me. There is one denomination today who are taking out right now all of the war type or advancement type songs out of their hymnals. "Onward Christian Soldiers" can no longer be sung in this denomination. Anything concerning the blood can no longer be sung in this denomination. What are we coming to? This Jericho that we're reading about here and Joshua covered about 6 acres. I think we're talking about a Jericho that's much bigger. Jericho is known as the walled city, and here is where I want to come and bring it home to us and let us see these strongholds in our life. Jericho is known as the walled city, and what I want to bring out right now is what I'm talking about when I say walled or walls. Walls in your life. First of all, it's the stronghold of the imagination of the carnal mind. That's the first thing that strongholds are. We're going to look at this a little bit more in a few minutes. But it's every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God in your life. That is the walls. That is the walls of Jericho. The things that are in your life that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, above the Word of God. The thing that is in your life that keeps God from taking over that aspect of your life. Am I talking to anybody? It's when you think something above what God says. It's when you want your way over His Word. That's the Jericho wall. And I'm telling you, there's something's coming that's going to bring it down. Number two, it's the stronghold of a natural family. The stronghold that's in or of a natural family. It can be a father. I've seen a lot of men in homes that were walls of Jericho. They were proud against the dealings of God. What they thought was exalted over and above what God thought. I've seen it to be the mothers, the women. I've seen it to be the children. The thing that's in the life is a family that exalts itself above what God's Word says is a Jericho wall. Stay with me. Number three, the stronghold in a spiritual family or the local church. A lot of pastors are Jericho walls. Elders, deacons, saints, whatever that it can be. It can be anything. Anything that exalts itself above the Word of God is a Jericho wall. All right. Number four, the stronghold of a religious system. Now you can read about Babylon in Jeremiah 50 through 52 and Revelation 17 through 18. But now listen to me when I say this. I want to be quoted right. Babylon is not a sign over a door or a sign hanging out at a road. Babylon is a spirit. And a lot of people, even in this city, have come out of denominations thinking they're coming out of Babylon. You don't come out of a spirit, people. You get spirits out of you. Now that's the difference. Spirits are brought out of people. Babylon's brought out of people. Many people have left denominations thinking they were coming out of Babylon. Babylon is a spirit, not a denomination or a building. You do not come out of Babylon. Babylon must come out of you. There are groups, charismatics, all over this world that are still walled cities. There's one in this city. Know them well. But they're a lot more of Babylon than I am. Don't have no sign. Number five, the strongholds of the world system, whether it's religious, political, economical, or social. Anything which Satan is over and he is the king of, or the prince of, or the god of, that's the wall of Jericho. Now I'm going to hit this thing in so many different ways you'll understand what I'm trying to say. Then number six, it's the stronghold that the curse of the law had on creation before the Lord Jesus redeemed us. In other words, I'm talking about sin. Sin can be a stronghold, can it? You agree with that one? Sure. How about sickness? Okay. How about poverty? How about death? Sin, sickness, poverty, and death were all in the curse of the law. All of that happened when Adam fell. The first Adam. What did the second Adam do? He restored all that the first Adam lost. That's a stronghold. Then number seven. Number seven. Here is what it is. What is the wall of Jericho? Anything that has a stronghold on your spirit, mind, or body, with emphasis on mind. The wall of Jericho is anything that has a stronghold on our mind. Anything that has a stronghold on your mind that hinders the progression of God into your life is walls. It's the wall of Jericho. And it's set there to keep God out. It's the part of your life that says, God, I don't want you to deal with this part of me. Now, you can have the rest of the land. You can have the rest of me. But you leave this alone. That's your Jericho. Am I talking to anybody besides myself? I'm talking to me. I know that. I've got a Jericho wall. And I'm ready for God to come shout at that thing. What does God do about walls? Anybody know? Let's look at a couple. Turn to the book of Daniel real quick, chapter 5. I'm not going to look at all of these. Book of Daniel, chapter 5. It's in my Bible too. Daniel 5, there it is. Belshazzar was having a big bash, a big party. And he had this big old long row of tables and brought out all the furniture that was in the tabernacle of Moses and set it off over there and had beside the wall the lampstand. And a hand of God came and began to write upon it. Look at verse 4, Daniel 5, 4. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, of stone. What do they praise today? Same gods. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's what? Hand. Apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, right? Apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, five fingers. And wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the veil of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote it. Let's read it again, verse 5. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand. What does God do to that wall? He wrote on it. And what's he going to write on it with? Apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. There's prophetic ministry that's going to come and write on the wall in your life that's trying to keep God out. The thing in your life, I promise you, there's a prophetic ministry God's going to have come to you and write on your wall. Now, you think you've seen graffiti in the bathrooms. You wait till God writes. And he writes, many, many tinkle, you parson. Many. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. You got any kingdoms in your life that you know God's one day going to finish it? I promise you he will. Many, many tinkle. Tinkle, thou art weighed in the balance and art found wanting. And parson, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Now that's what this prophet Daniel told Belshazzar. He wrote on that wall by the hand of God came forth like a man's hand, and the fingers wrote on that wall, and a prophet prophesied the doom of Babylon that night. Did it happen? Yes, it happened. And there's a prophet that's coming to your life, and he's going to write on your wall. God will send a prophetic ministry to write on those walls in your life. Now, what am I talking about? Am I talking about literal walls? Am I talking about something that keeps God from a progressive march through your Canaan? What am I talking about? I'm talking about walls between your ears now. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the things that's in your life that's hindering the progression of God in your being. Let's look in Ezekiel real quickly. I've got to speed up a little bit. Ezekiel chapter 8. Just want to show you a little bit about what God does with walls. He does not like walls. I preached a message about this one time. When I got down there to the last one, we all stood up, joined hands, and shouted. And the walls fell. Ezekiel chapter 8, look at verse 7. And he brought me, this is God bringing, or this is the Lord bringing Ezekiel, he brought me to the door of the court. This is the tabernacle, the temple. He brought me to the door of the court. And when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. What do you do to this wall? He's going to dig through it. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. Now this is in the temple of God. Now let's see what I'm talking about. Who is the temple? You see, there's a prophetic ministry that's going to come and dig through your walls. First he's going to write on it, and then he's going to dig in it. He's going to get in there and he's going to see all the abominations in your life. So I went in and saw and behold every form of creeping thing, an abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood all those people. And look at verse 12. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery, his imagination. And we're going to read a scripture in a minute that talks about pulling down those strongholds in your imaginations. You see what I'm talking about? There's a prophetic ministry. I'm telling you, God's raising it up. He's going to go home with you. He's going to write on your walls. He's going to dig through your walls. Now, let's read. In his imagery, for they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. Sound like today? Verse 15. Then said he unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Verse 16. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house. And behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, there about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east. Then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations upon abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger, and lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore I will also deal in fury. Mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. You can cry about it, but the abominations in your life, God's going to dig a hole through them. He's going to dig a hole through that wall, and he's going to bring your Jericho down. Now, I want him to do this to me. I want him to write on my wall, and I want him to dig through my walls. Now, let me tell you, as you look at this chapter here, you'll find out that it's talking about the temple, the outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. And as Ezekiel was taken through this thing, he saw that the holy place, that the abominations in the holy place, the sins in the holy place, was greater than the sins in the outer court. In other words, the Spirit-filled people, their sins were greater than those that weren't. And as he went on in further and got back in there to the holy place, the Holy of Holies, those abominations were worse than the rest. Now, there's no great sins and little sins in God. Do you know that? Sin is sin. But the further you go in God, the greater the sin gets. Now, there's your perfect example of that. God has no big sins and little sins. Sin is sin to God. He can't look upon any of it. But the further you progress in God, the greater that abomination gets. In other words, the more that is given, the more is required. Do you hear what I'm saying? And he's digging through some walls. All right. Joel chapter 2. Let's look at it real quickly. Go to the right. Go to Daniel and then go up two more books. I think is right. Is that right? Joel 2. Not going to read it, just going to tell you about it. Just show you where it's at. Verse 2 through verse 11, Joel sees a prophetic army. And what this army does is run on the walls. Look at verse 7. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks, neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Now, Joel saw a prophetic army, and what this prophetic army brought, if you'll look there in verse 10, it sounds like the tribulation. There's a prophetic army that's coming, and that prophetic army is going to bring earthquakes. That prophetic army is going to cause the heavens to tremble. That prophetic army is going to cause the sun and the moon not to shine. That prophetic army is going to cause your stars to stop shining. It's going to cause your heavens to quiver. It's going to cause your earth to quake. There's a prophetic army that's coming, folks, that's going to run over the walls and going to get in your windows, in your house. Who is the house? We are the house. And there's a prophetic army that's coming that's going to get in it. And they're going to see all the abominations. What's God doing to walls? He's writing on them. He's digging through them. He's climbing over them. He's running on them. And then you can read there about David in 2 Samuel 22, 30 and Psalms 18, 29. And he says, I can run through a troop and I can leap over a wall. Walls don't mean anything to the prophets. And then you get to Joshua. What did Joshua do to walls? Joshua just knocks them down flat. Utterly, totally destroys them. And that's the ministry you've got to deal with. I want to utterly, totally destroy the walls in your life. If it takes shouting at them, I'll shout at them. If I got to ride on them, I'll ride on them. If I got to dig through them, I'm going to dig through them. If I got to run on them, I'll run on them. If I've got to leap over them, I want to leap over them. If I got to get in your window of your house to get through your walls, I'm coming. I want to be a ministry, a prophetic ministry that can get into your Jericho and cause it to fall. God does not like walls. There is a shout coming from the prophetic ministry of God that by its mouth will bring down the walls of Jericho in your life. God does not want to only ride on them, nor dig through them, nor run up and over them, nor leap over them. God desires for them to fall down flat in utter destruction. Does God like walls? But do we build them? He knocks them down and we'll build another one. All right, are you ready for what the wall is? Are you ready? Wall, W-A-L-L, right? Change the A to I, and there's the wall. What do I have? Will. The wall of Jericho is your will. Does God want to break your will so that His will can be done? Does He want your will to crumble so that His will can come forth? Does He want your way to shatter so that His way can be accomplished? There's the wall of Jericho, your will. And God's going to do what it takes to break it. I promise you. I promise you. You get hard-willed with Him, He'll break you. He knows how to do it. He knows how to deal with me. He knows how to deal with you. He'll break you. We build walls to keep others out, don't we? See, we build walls because we've been hurt, and we don't want nobody else to hurt us, so we build walls. I talked with Judy about this a long time ago when I preached that message. The reason that we build walls is because somebody's hurting us or has hurt us. So we build up walls. But the sad thing about building up walls so that people can't get in is that we can't get out. You see, if I build a wall around my life and won't let you in, I can't get out to you either. And if you build up a wall and won't let me in, then you can't get out to me. Walls. God hates them. Did He say, go into Jerusalem and into Judea and into Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth? Or did He say, go to Jerusalem and build a wall? Does He tell us to go to Lafayette, to go to all of Walker County, to go to all of the state of Georgia, and then go to the uttermost parts of the earth? Sure. And you can't do it if you build a wall. If you build a wall around your individual life, if you build a wall around your individual family, if you build a wall around your individual church, if you build a wall around this city, you cannot affect this earth. Walls have to come down. You can ride on them, you can dig through them, you can leap over them, you can run across them, you can shout them down. I don't care, but they got to come down. And if you don't bring them down, God's going to bring a prophetic ministry that will. I promise you that. The walls of Jericho represent anything that stands in the way of the forward movement in God. It may be Jericho to you. It may be enjoyment. It may be fragrant. It may be Baal, Astarte, or Molech. But if it stands in the way of God, it will be destroyed. Jericho is the stronghold in your mind. Change the A to I, and there's your wall. Now, let's look at this. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 15 minutes. This is the primary one that I wanted to get. I wanted to get you this one about the wall. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds or walls, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's the wall. Do you have walls? But I encourage you, as you start seeing the walls built, let's start kicking them over, okay? Let's kick that thing down. Let's don't let any walls get built up in here. Will you promise me? All right, let's get these. Jericho's king. Number 3, Jericho's king. In John 12:31, he's the prince of this world. In John 14:30, he's the prince of this world. In John 16:11, he's the prince of this world. In Ephesians 2:2, he's the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, he's the god of this world. In Ephesians 6:12, he's the rulers of darkness. So the first and the primary aspect of who the king of Jericho is Satan. The primary type of the king of Jericho is Satan. The king of Jericho has energized. The king of Jericho was energized by Satan and his demons. Kingship speaks of authority. But I want to give you another type. I want you to see this, that the enemy is still energizing the kings of Jericho today. Kings of Jericho. Now they can be in the home. We go back to the way I brought out about the walls. I've seen a lot of King of Jerichos in a lot of homes. And they can be the man, they can be the woman, or they can be the children. They are whoever has set its mind against the will of God in that home. Whoever stops the progressive vision for God in that home, whoever stands in the way and builds walls, the king of Jericho, that's who it is in the home. It can be in the same likeness in the church. A lot of pastors are kings of Jericho. Will not progress with God. And you can go right on down the line. So you have a lot of kings of Jericho, and I don't have time to get in all of this. But in 2 Thessalonians 2:17, it talks there about the man of sin. And whatever that means, I don't have time to turn to it, but whatever that means out yonder is the man of sin and building a temple over yonder and all of that, I don't know. I can't do a thing about it anyhow. But I do know this. I know that the word temple used in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is the Greek word naos. And I know that that's the temple that Jesus said, the Holy Ghost will abide in me. And I know that that temple, that naos, speaks of something in my temple that exalts itself above God. I know there's a king of Jericho in me, and I call it my carnal mind. I call it that part of me that wants to exalt itself above the name of God, above the word of God, above the progressive vision of God. That thing in me that hinders the progress of God is my king of Jericho. And the carnal mind is not subject to the things of God, and neither can be. And the war is between the flesh and the spirit, and one lusteth against the other one, right? So there is something in us. We are a temple. There's something in us that exalts itself above the very name of God. You got a king of Jericho in you. It's your carnal mind. Revelation 2:13.